This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In. This is my weekly podcast on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast Network. You also hear me for Q&A with Layla once a week, along with Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for joining me. I thank all of our listeners who listen to our podcasts and who send me questions and comments. I appreciate them all. I hope you're staying reasonably warm this winter. And as for me, spring can't come soon enough. So, let me get to your questions. I have an email from Carrie. Carrie emails me from Georgia. Dear Layla, would you please share your knowledge concerning licorice and its relationship to normal blood pressure and hypertension? Does it interfere or does it benefit the kidney or the liver? Many thanks for your help. Thanks for your question, Carrie. Yeah, so let me get all into it. Licorice, by the way, and I want to make this perfectly clear from the beginning, that the licorice candy, you know, the Twizzlers that are sold in the United States in candy stores, is flavored with anise oil, and does not actually contain licorice. So those of you who are having licorice candy, not real licorice, there isn't any real licorice in that candy. Now, am I a fan of licorice candy? No, that's not what I mean to say. But, so here's the thing. Licorice has been used medicinally since Roman times and is popular in Chinese herbal medicine. And it's really important to note that it's been used not just in Chinese herbal, but also it's a perennial herb. It's native to the Mediterranean. That's been prized for medicinal properties for centuries. It's been used in ancient Arabia for treating coughs. In ancient Greece, it was used for coughs along with asthma. Just as I said earlier, it's been used in China where it helped to relieve irritation of the mucous membranes and spasms in the GI tract. Okay. In India, traditional Ayurvedic medicine regards licorice root as spasm relieving, as an expectorant, as an anti-inflammatory, as a demulcent, meaning it relieves irritation of mucous membranes. And it affects the function of our adrenal glands. So there are many benefits of licorice. It can fight viral infection. This may be less commonly known about licorice. Licorice has broad-spectrum antiviral activity. Can be very effective against SARS, the flu, hepatitis, HIV, herpes outbreaks. And according to a study published in the Chinese journal Virology, the triterpenoids of licorice have the potential to become a novel broad-spectrum antiviral medicine and will be widely used in clinical treatment. Licorice is also an adaptogenic herb which means it helps your body deal with stress. It can regulate, modulate cortisol. And as it turns out, licorice helps the body to regulate cortisol, taking stress off adrenal glands. Another less known advantage of licorice is in menopausal support or PMS support. Licorice has estrogen-like effects and has been found to reduce the number and duration of hot flashes as well as hormone therapy in postmenopausal women. It can also be useful in relieving premenstrual syndrome. Now, licorice, also known as Chinese licorice, licorice root, Persian licorice, Russian licorice, Spanish licorice. Okay? It's typically found as licorice extract, in capsules as licorice root. Deglycerinated licorice extract, very important, because deglycerinated licorice extract is what's found in our supplement DGL, which is wonderful for GERD and things like ulcer. It's available also in chewing gum, in throat lozenges, and all of that. So the most medicinal products use the roots and the dried rhizomes of Glycyrrhiza glabra, which is a perennial herb or a low-growing shrub. And licorice plants are native to the Mediterranean, but widely cultivated in the United States, Russia, Spain, Turkey, Greece, India, Italy, Iran, and Iraq. And the rhizosomes and roots contain 5 to 9% glycyrrhizin, glycyrrhizic acid, a glycoside that is actually 50 times sweeter than sugar. But the hydrolysis of glycyrrhizin yields glycyrrhetic acid, which is not sweet. Okay? So actions. Glycyrrhizin is hydrolyzed by intestinal flora to a pharmacologically active form, which is glycyrrhetic acid. The main effect of licorice is to potentiate rather than mimic endogenous steroids. And studies in animals suggest that glycyrrhizin and glycyrrhetic acid have mild anti-inflammatory effects. Glycyrrhizin may stimulate gastric mucus synthesis through effects on our hormone systems like prostaglandins, which may explain its ulcer healing properties. Licorice for peptic ulcer is well known. Studies from Europe in the 40s and 50s suggested that licorice derivatives could be used to treat peptic ulcer disease. Adverse reactions, however, range from headaches to edema to heart failure. So interest in these agents was revived in the 1960s. To treat peptic ulcer disease. So, let's see here. Reported uses. Because of its anecdotal use for gastric irritation, such as gastritis, GERD, peptic ulcer, licorice derivatives have been studied for antipeptic action. And licorice was also evaluated as a treatment for Addison's disease, and was found to enhance mineralocorticoid activity, but could not mimic it when adrenal activity was absent. Glycyrrhizic acid has also been used in a shampoo to reduce sebum secretion from the scalp and for cold sore, eczema, mouth ulcers. Glycyrrhizin is used mainly as a flavoring and sweetening agent for bitter drugs in beverages, candies, chewing gum, in toothpastes, even in some tobacco products. Wow. It's also added to some cough and cold preparations for its expectorant and demulcent effects. Now, for peptic ulcer, taking glycyrrhizin daily, but for no longer than 6 weeks. And that was according to the German Commission E. Now, here's the thing. The glycyrrhizic acid is what's active in licorice that can have adverse effects. And here, adverse reactions have been noted, especially with ventricular tachycardia, heart failure, in endocrine, reduced serum testosterone levels. This is where licorice may actually be helpful in women with polycystic ovarian syndrome who have excess androgens or testosterone. A problem with licorice is it can cause hypokalemia, because long-term use of licorice, it can cause pseudo-hyperaldosteronism. This is a medical condition that mimics hyperaldosteronism. And aldosterone is a very important hormone which helps our kidneys conserve sodium but get rid of or deplete potassium. It aids in water retention, the stability of blood pressure, but prolonged use of licorice can cause the pseudo-hyperaldosteronism, which is problematic. It could produce hypertension associated with low plasma renin activity, metabolic alkalosis, which is associated with the low potassium. It causes more excretion of potassium than you would like. So that's why licorice tea is often prescribed for people with low blood pressure to help give the adrenals a boost, because it's the adrenal cortex where all of this is monitored. So licorice, however, is contraindicated in patients with arrhythmias, cardiovascular disease, with renal disease, with liver disease, or with hypertension. And those taking particular drugs, like diuretics, you have to be careful with licorice, because diuretics are already promoting dehydration and loss of electrolytes like potassium. And adding licorice to that mix can be dangerous. You could really lose a lot of potassium there. Okay. Licorice poisoning may be insidious. And this is for healthcare practitioners more than anyone out there. Monitor the patient for pseudoprimary hyperaldosteronism causing these effects: headache, lethargy, sodium and water retention, hypokalemia, hypertension, heart failure, electrolyte imbalances, all of these, and hypertension. So taking licorice in and of itself, Carrie, to answer your question, the best form, first of all, anyone taking licorice, even licorice teas, if your adrenals are low, if your blood pressure is low, you want some supervision. I wouldn't suggest a tablet, a capsule, or anything like that. You want this to be recommended to you by a health care practitioner. Supervision is absolutely warranted. However, the use of deglycyrrhizinated licorice, such as DGL, you don't have to be concerned about the licorice, because the glycyrrhizic acid, which is the main thing that can cause spikes in blood pressure, has been removed. So DGL is chewable licorice, that is deglycyrrhizinated licorice. You could chew it. It has a long history of health-related benefits. It's great for GERD. It's a demulcent. It's good for peptic ulcer disease, for gastritis, for all of those. So taking something like DGL, which is deglycyrrhized licorice, is the one to take. Not to take licorice in and of itself. And I'll tell you, just looking at a PDR, there are so many things, so many drugs that licorice interferes with. All right, contraindications. Anybody with kidney disease, liver disease, as I said, prolonged or excessive use may deplete potassium, increase retention of sodium, which will lead to high blood pressure. Arrhythmias, decreased testosterone, edema, fluid retention, headache. Interactions. Licorice may actually be useful in those taking Tylenol, frequent users of acetaminophen, in aiding against liver injury. Glycyrrhizin may be helpful. Now, that would not be my first choice because of all these interactions with other drugs, and you have to be careful. If your blood pressure may already be in the normo to high tensive range, what I would suggest for prevention of liver injury if you're taking Tylenol regularly is NAC and acetylcysteine. Licorice. If you're taking aspirin, and we know that chronic use of aspirin can induce ulcer or other GI tract bleeds, deglycerinated licorice protects against gastric ulcer. So if you're on an aspirin regimen, it may be useful for you to take DGL, deglycerinated licorice, DGL, on a daily basis to counteract the harmful effects of aspirin. Synergistic potentiation of potassium loss, possible hypokalemia. We have to be careful of that. And that's why you want supervision. Anybody taking diuretics, anybody taking estrogen replacement therapy or oral contraceptives. I'm talking to you ladies who are on HRT or who are taking birth control pills. If you're also using licorice with oral contraceptives, this may lead to hypertension, peripheral edema, swelling. Okay? And estrogen may increase sensitivity to glycyrrhizin acid in licorice. So actually more research is needed. Anybody taking insulin or oral hypoglycemic agents, those with metabolic syndrome, diabetes, prediabetes, insulin may be synergistic with glycyrrhizin and may cause electrolyte imbalance and suppression of renin and aldosterone. And when we have a suppression of renin, aldosterone, we have all kinds of upsets with the kidneys in trying to maintain normal tension, normal blood pressure. Okay. Licorice can cause interaction with MAOIs, monoamine oxidase inhibitors. These are other antidepressants. We have to be careful. Those taking spironolactone, taking SSRIs, flavonoids. People who are taking antidepressants like Prozac, Zoloft, flavonoids contained in licorice demonstrate serotonin reuptake inhibitor-like activity. It can be problematic. If you're taking a laxative regularly, this also increases risk of low potassium. Taking licorice will only worsen that. So, Carrie, I don't suggest to anyone taking licorice or a regular licorice supplement, I would only recommend deglycerinated licorice in the form of DGL. Okay. And anyone taking licorice on their own, don't just continue using licorice on your own. I'm not talking about licorice candy. I'm talking about supplemental licorice. You do need supervision. There are too many contraindications. If you are on any prescription medication, chances are it may interfere with it or potentiate its action, meaning make your drug actually stronger in your body. And you don't necessarily want that. That could be deemed as an overdose even. So you definitely want supervision with licorice, but with deglycerinized licorice, It's okay because the glycyrrhizic acid, real tongue tie here, has been removed. Okay? And that's what would make a licorice supplement safer. I hope this was clear. I know there was a little more medicalese language in here. I hope this was clear, but thank you for your question, Carrie. And I thank you all for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.